This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome to The Scorecard.
Many doubted we'd ever see it.
Where we focus on Chicagoland and national golf news.
And here it is. The return to glory.
Can't help but think of the long one he made in San Diego to pick up his first PGA Tour win in style. Here it comes. Here it
watch out!
Comes!
And there's no doubt about it. The Bear has come out of hibernation.
With your hosts, Score golf expert and editor of Chicago District Golfer magazine, Barry Cronin.
Well, here it comes.
Oh, my goodness.
And Mike Esposito.
In your life have you seen anything like that?
Johnny, that's better than most.
How about in?
That is better than most.
Presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine on 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
And good morning and welcome into The Scorecard, everybody. Presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine. This is our final show of the season. And what a way for us to end another season here on The Score and on The Scorecard than with the Ryder Cup. And yesterday certainly a thrilling day one for Team USA. Mike Esposito here with you in Chicago, and our correspondent live on the ground there at Whistling Straits, and I'm glad he's there to take it all in. Barry Cronin, good morning, Barry. I can't imagine how wonderful it has been being up there at Whistling Straits.
It's been great, Mike. Thanks so much for doing it. It's been a great season. For you and me on this show, I think, and we've had a lot of great guests, and this is really a tremendous climax to the year, being up here at the Ryder Cup. It's been unbelievable. You know, it's one, you watch it on TV, and the images and the place is so beautiful and so dramatic and captivating, and the crowds are crazy. But then when you're on the ground walking around, of course you don't have much idea what's going on unless you have their little transistor radio thing that they have. The comeback of the transistor radio, you can walk
there
around.
There you go.
And you can listen to all the different feeds. You know, Golf Channel, and then they've got the UK feed. So it's really cool to listen to different things. But anyway, that being said, a lot of crowds. It's just awesome. Everybody having a good time. We had yesterday, I believe, at least three of the four seasons here in Wisconsin. It was like 40, I think it was like 48 degrees when they finally teed off on number one at 7:06. And then, you know, in the middle of the day, it was 74 degrees. Mm-hmm. And then towards the end of the day, it got cool again. It started raining. It was pouring rain when I got back to my where I'm staying, and so it was quite a day, and I saw some people that I know from Chicago up there who were having such a great time, really enjoying it. Fans, you know, not media.
Yep.
People, regular humans,
regular guys,
who
yeah,
were
exactly.
Just like going around having a great time, and they really enjoyed it. So it's really spectacular.
So, and we'll get into the golf in a second, of course, but a few of the other things too. Number one, and I guess I forget every time, and then I am quickly reminded how much people love the Ryder Cup and how into it people getting. I was getting texts from people who I don't normally get texts from about sports or about golf for sure. And the Ryder Cup was the topic, and We saw it yesterday. You could hear it in the crowd. You saw a ton of, you know, I'm sure you were rubbing elbows with Michael Jordan up there as you guys were watching the Ryder Cup together. So,
well, I was hanging with Steph Curry, and I don't know if you saw me in the pictures with Steph. I was right next to him the whole time, you know.
No, and that was the first thing I saw. That was the start of my day. My wife had one of the morning TV shows on yesterday, and I did see your winter because Mike Tirico was on and Steph Curry was on, and they had, like, winter coats on. I'm like, oh, it's going to be a cold one up there today. But then, I saw them playing in short sleeves afterwards, so that was not the case. But, yeah, no, I mean, people just love the Ryder Cup, and really – what a way to start. But you mentioned Whistling Straits, and we figured that this would be something that where this place would show out as well as they can. And it sounds like that is exactly what's happening.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And it's, you know, for the fans, it's a bit of a tough walk. And I know, and certainly for the great photographers that are covering the event for different photo services around the world, it's not an easy walk. As you know, I played there a couple of times this year, and you know, it's not an easy walk, especially if you're not walking down the middle of the fairway, which I seldom do. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, you know, and the photographers, they have to walk near the ropes, and the rope line is they have to stay within an arm's length of the rope line, and of course the rope line is. You know, there's a lot of hills and bumps as you go along the side. It's not like you're at Augusta where the hills that line the fairways are pretty smooth. These are kind of, you know, you got to have your mountain boots on and make sure you don't break an ankle. So mm-hmm. That's very challenging for them. And but yeah, it looks great on TV, and it is great to be out there. A lot of enthusiasm, and of course, as you said, it does draw people in who are not normally attracted to the weekly golf, because weekly golf is a lot of guys trying to keep their emotions under control. You know, what do your golf coaches teach you when you're young or when you're playing golf? Don't get mad. Try to have an even keel, whatever. But these guys are just so on edge all the time. And, you know, Justin Thomas made that eagle on 16 yesterday in their match. I mean, he was so frustrated all day because all he did in the morning, his morning match when he was playing with Jordan Spieth, they were missing all kinds of putts, and they wound up getting killed in that match with Rahm and Garcia. And so his frustration, he finally made that putt, and I finally did something right, and he was screaming and everything.
Yeah.
So people, those guys are really into it, and they become... they're members of a team. The U.S. is representing their team. I guess Europe is representing the Eurozone or whatever, the European mm-hmm. Union. And you know, they do. They are very proud of that. And so it does bring people in who aren't normally into golf because you see emotions that the players have. They're playing in a team sport, which we all love team sports because somehow that brings us together more than individual mm-hmm. sports. And you're just seeing them perform in ways, and of course it seems like they perform better when they're playing for something bigger than themselves and their own paycheck. So although the Euros did not do that yesterday, they got drubbed 6-2 by the Americans. They were fortunate to tie two matches in the afternoon in order to keep it. You know, to have it not be 7-1 going mm-hmm. into today. So, meanwhile, the pairings are out for today, and we'll talk about that in a second. I know you want to talk about something else right now.
Absolutely. No, I just was going to say it's the biggest day one lead, 6-2, as you mentioned, since 1975. Apparently, and you know, I am not privy to Tiger's text, but apparently Tiger sent an extremely motivational text to the team members that they talked about after their matches, but not in detail, but apparently Tiger is fully engaged with this. I saw Phil out there yesterday. You know he's fully engaged as a vice captain and giving tips to the guys and hobnobbing with Steph Curry, as you mentioned, and whatnot. And plenty of shots. The Spieth shot on 17, I believe.
On 17, yep, uh-huh.
amazing. I you could give me 1,000 chances to hit that ball, and there's not a chance. I probably hit it on the green once, and that thing, I couldn't believe that. And the Bryson drive. I mean, listen, we talk about Bryson's drives for many different reasons this year. I don't think I've ever seen 417 on a professional golf course from a professional player. That's a something right there.
Right, and he had like 73 in, and got it up and down from 73 yards. So, he played great, and he hit a lady. His first tee shot on number one, on his first hole. He was trying to drive the green on number one. I mean, which is pretty amazing. It's incredible when you look at that hole. And he hit a lady in the ankle. So God love him. But he signed a ball, and she was not any the worse for wear. So
that's good.
It's good. Yeah.
Yeah. No. So Team USA with the 6-2 lead. You mentioned the pairings are out for today. I have them here. And we can talk about them too. So the foursome matchups starting bright and early. 7:05 Chicago time. Koepka and Berger go against Sergio and Rahm. Morikawa, I like that pairing a lot. I'm guessing you do too, against Casey and Hatton. And then you've got Spieth and Thomas again against Hovland and Weisberger. The last group, Cantlay and Schauffele against Lee Westwood and Matt Fitzpatrick. So what's in our best interest here for Team USA? I mean, obviously you want to win everything, but you've got the big lead. This has happened before, though. So what's the strategy here for Team USA?
Well, I mean, I think that obviously Koepka and Berger play were really strong in their alternate shot matches yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I really, in my mind, when I was thinking about, well, what would Stricker do and how would he... I think this Koepka-Berger versus Garcia-Rahm is really good because I think... Mm-hmm. I mean, first of all, it'll be a great match because I think the Koepka-Berger is really a good... Those two guys are really competitive, and Koepka's a pretty tough customer. He doesn't really get rattled at all. And I think those two guys are really competitive. They played great together yesterday. So I think they'll give Rahm a little bit more than what Spieth and Thomas gave him yesterday. And Johnson Morikawa, they played terrific. Even though you sort of think, wow, what? That's sort of an odd couple, really, But DJ played great. He putted well. He was number one in the world, and he kind of had a flat season after he won the Masters in November. He didn't really stand out. He didn't, he just had those, he had his number one status, and then he lost it to Rahm, obviously. But, and so they played real well together yesterday. And this Tyrrell Hatton, he is a terrific player, as anybody who watched these matches saw yesterday. Man, he birdied 18 to really save a half a point for Europe and keep them within striking distance, sort of, Paul Casey, a stalwart, I've noticed a little bit on Twitter where he's taken a lot of the Twitter hatred, because he didn't make a lot of putts. But he's not really a big putter. He's a great driver of the ball, great with his irons, and he's just not a great streaky type of putter where he hits it all of a sudden he hits a great streak and starts making putts. So that's just the way he is, man. So and right now, the only other alternative would be them to put McIlroy out, and he was shut out yesterday both. So anyway, and then Spieth Thomas, I think they got a good draw with Hovland and Weisberger. Weisberger, okay. Hovland, I think he played well, but I think they had a little bit higher expectations, but which maybe were unfair for a rookie. But he's a great player, and I'm thinking that maybe Spieth and Thomas. I had a feeling yesterday. I don't know what you thought, but I thought Spieth was. Those two guys were a little nervous. In that they went out first, and there was a lot of expectations on them, and I think that was a little too much. Now they're in this third group, they went through yesterday, and maybe they can just relax a little bit. And we know they're much better players, and maybe you know, maybe they can get it together. Otherwise, this is a great team. They played real well together in Paris.
Yeah.
And I think they want to keep this. They want to see. I think the American teams would like, and American future captains and Stricker would like to see if this pairing can continue to work through the years. You know, this is not necessarily just mm-hmm. for this year. And of course, Cantlay, Schauffele, man, they were bulletproof. They were awesome yesterday. Xander just knocking in putts from all over the place, and Cantlay just being the Iceman, just terrific. And Westwood got blown out. Fitzpatrick, you know, I don't think he did any. I don't really remember him doing much yesterday. But anyway, so it'll be good. Hey, Mike, I did want to mention one thing if we could.
Sure. Of course we can.
We have the Chicago District Golf Association, a last-minute contest.
Okay.
So I just want to say this now. The listeners can go to cdga.org/contest to win a Ryder Cup hat.
Hey.
That's CDGA as in Chicago, C for Chicago, D for district, G for golf, A for association.org/contest to win a Ryder Cup hat. So if you're on your way, like my buddies Jeff and Steve, who are driving north on I-43 at this point, hopefully, to Whistling Straits, they can win a hat. I don't know.
I love it.
Can you get on there from the car? Probably.
All you gotta do is plug it in on your phone, and
you got a guy riding shotgun with you. Just go to cdga.org/con. Maybe you'll get a hat. I don't know. Maybe they'll deliver it to you when you're out there on the course today. You never know.
That is a fantastic prize, and we have a fantastic show coming up for you here. Our guests, Len Ziem, who I know you have likely seen up there, the Dean of Chicago Golf Writers. He is covering the event for the Daily Herald. Len will be on next. Lots of Ryder Cup talk, of course. And how cool is this? Chip Beck, four-time winner on the PGA Tour. He played on three Ryder Cup teams. Chip will join us at 6:40 as we continue to talk Ryder Cup. And before we break, because we need to break to get to Len, though, I know, Barry, there's plenty of people, because we'll probably run out of time at the end. We want to thank a lot of people for being a part of the scorecard and helping us along throughout this season.
Absolutely. There's so many that, you know, we'll leave them all out. But, we will. And we'll go through that at the end, because I have to make my mental list.
Okay.
Hey, by the way,
sure.
Our music from Wisconsin today. So you're going to be surprised at some of these people. It's awesome. It's unbelievable. I didn't realize all these great musicians.
I can't wait. And yes, we will do our shout outs at the end. I should also mention we are broadcasting live from the Score Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And when we come back here on the Scorecard, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine, Len Ziem will join us. We'll talk Ryder Cup with Len, who was there at Whistling Straits for the Daily Herald. This is the Scorecard. Barry and Mike here on 670 The Score.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And we are back on the Scorecard, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine. Some of my favorite Wisconsin music right here, Barry. Violent Femmes.
Yes.
Blister in the Sun. We love it. And we are excited to talk Ryder Cup for the rest of our show here. We are excited to head on out to the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. To do that, we will talk to the Dean of Illinois Golf Writers, as you say. Len Ziem joins us on the scorecard. Good morning, Len.
Good morning. What a big day yesterday was, and two more big ones coming up.
Leonard, I have a question for you, sir. You've been to many Ryder Cups in your life, more golf tournaments than any five people I know. So how surprised were you with what happened yesterday?
Personally, I was shocked. I was absolutely shocked. I've noticed golf has gotten involved in the bettors have gotten involved in golf much more in recent years here, and it seemed that more than half of the services were rating the U.S. as a favorite, and I just couldn't understand that. Based on the poor showings by the U.S. teams over the years, they've lost four of the last five, it goes beyond that to the Europeans. I thought that they really I didn't see that this team was going to be the one that with six rookies to make any kind of a breakthrough. And I'm still not completely convinced because I can always remember the meltdown at Medina back in 2012. To get off to the start the U.S. did, their best start since 1979, that's something to be excited about.
Right, and honestly, Lenny, they have the pairings today. I have a sense that in the first pairing today, you've got Koepka and Berger versus Garcia and Rahm, which I think will be a more formidable opponent for Garcia and Rahm. I felt like Spieth and Thomas it seemed like they were nervous out there yesterday, and they couldn't make any putts. Spieth was leaving his putts short, and he was, all that. He just didn't seem to get into rhythm, and Thomas was missing putts. But Berger and Koepka just seemed like they were pretty stoic when they were out there yesterday.
Yeah, I think that they were. The thing that strikes me about these morning pairings is that the Europeans, Patrick Harrington, he didn't send out Rory McIlroy. Rory had a tough day yesterday. He was on he got a bad beating in both of his matches. Still he's been a mainstay for Europe and in the Ryder Cup for years. So you'd think he'd be out there when the going is the toughest, and it's certainly tough for that team now.
Yeah,
Len, and I was actually going to ask you, is that something where, because Rory is obviously one of the best players in the world, you mentioned the history with the Ryder Cup, is that something where that they actually you would sit down and chat with Rory or whatever, or is that a, coach's decision type thing? How do you estimate that type of thing is handled by Harrington?
Well, I think that Harrington, I'm sure, felt, this is just what I feel, that he needed to give his team a somewhat of a fresh look and put the pressure on and everybody and say, look, the star isn't there. Let's go out and play for him, or anything to kind of reverse the momentum. Yesterday they only won one match, the first one with Rahm and Garcia. And that's a very formidable team to put out there. You've got the world number one and the player who's won more points than anybody else in Ryder Cup history. So that's a very formidable opponent. But, it's going to take more than one, winning one match to get back into it today. So it's an odd one. Harrington did the same thing yesterday, I thought, in the biggest surprise to me was how McIlroy and Ian Poulter were completely demolished by the U.S. team in the fourth match of the morning. Poulter is a legend in Ryder Cup play from Medina. He was a fearsome competitor, and him and McIlroy, they were down five after five holes yesterday, and then never really got back in the match. So yesterday was a funny day, but so was that last day at Medina. So I I'm still being guarded. I know there's a lot of golf left to be played.
Yeah, Lenny, those of us who were out there at Medina in 2012, I think you can't help but be haunted by that. And I think in a way, I mean, this American team, I'm sure Stricker, who was there and who played in that final, obviously played singles and lost. But he's got to be reminding those guys, hey, listen, you know, it ain't over till it's over, and we're up only 6-2. And really, if Europe comes back today, how close do they have to be going into Sunday? Realistically, I know they were down 10-6 at Medina when they came back with that unbelievable comeback, but that was otherworldly, and I don't think that could maybe, you know, it would be hard to see that happening again. But how close do you think they have to be?
Well, like you said, if they win half the points today, they get 4 points,
right,
then it's 10-6, and that's kind of eerie.
Right.
That's the same score it was going into the end at Medina. I tell you one thing that no matter how it really turns, I think that Steve Stricker's decision on roster selections has turned out to really be what the U.S. team needed. I mean, the old stars of the past just weren't getting anything done, and I thought this team was way too young. I mean, all these first-time Ryder Cuppers, but Tony Finau, for instance, I mean, he played great yesterday. Berger played very well. It was a whole bunch of players playing good, and they were players who brought a fresh outlook to the U.S. team and to the Ryder Cup. It was a very heartening thing to see.
Yeah, 6 Ryder Cup rookies, and they played great. And so I agree with you about Stricker, and I think it really was good to get to move on to these new guys and see what they have, because obviously the old guys haven't been getting it done, having lost 9 of the last 12 Ryder Cups. During the Tiger Phil era, they didn't get it done.
No, they sure didn't. And this is such a great event. I mean, yesterday the weather was just beautiful. Today it's going to be colder, and both days are very windy. Tomorrow is supposed to be another good, much warmer day. And so the crowd is just, has an ideal situation, atmosphere to watch the matches. The only drawback that I've seen to this Ryder Cup is the massive traffic jams that existed yesterday. And the TV today in Milwaukee, there was more warnings of how much extra time you need to get over to the golf course. Their small country roads aren't built for, they estimated 20,000 vehicles when they usually get about 680 on a daily basis.
Right.
So that's
right.
Something to, you know, maybe to be considered in choice of future Ryder Cup sites. But I think Whistling Straits has worked out just great. It looks great on TV. It's certainly a good, challenging course. And I've always felt like that course would be very good for match play. A lot of risk-reward opportunities there. And that's what's turned out to be.
Yeah.
Len Ziem, our guest here on the scorecard. And Lenny, before we let you go, we mentioned a few of yesterday's highlights. What stood out to you yesterday as the U.S. took that 6-2 lead? Maybe one or two items that you thought were keys to that.
Well, number one for me was the way Poulter was just not in the mix at all. I mean, his record was a terrific Ryder Cup player, not just because of Medina, but his overall record. He had been unbeaten in 6 singles matches, and his record as a in the team play was always very good. And to see him fall five down after five holes in his first match and then be benched for the second match, that was a shocker. You know, and I think that the one shot by Jordan Spieth, it was in a match that the U.S. didn't win, but that that shot from
down number the 17, open,
the
yeah,
17th yeah. green. I mean, that was one I just couldn't believe he pulled off. That was the shot of the day, even if his match was not, it was kind of overshadowed by the loss. But still a great first day. A lot of good memories to take from it. The long drive, that DeChambeau hit, and he's sitting out in the morning again. So I think Stricker must know what he's doing, and the way things worked out yesterday. I was surprised DeChambeau didn't play in the morning and play the whole day, but he sat out yesterday morning. He's sitting out this one, and we'll see where we go from here.
Well, Lenny, yep. Listen, I just want to make sure that the other competition is in the merchandise tent. And it's absolutely, I mean, there's so many people in there that the lines go from to get to the register. You talked about the parking, the lines for the merchandise tent go from the front of all the way back to the front door. People are lining up to buy shirts and all kinds of, head covers and flags and all kinds of stuff, spending hundreds of dollars, most of them. And that's the one thing. And I noticed, I have to go in there and, I do my research and my reporting from the ground, Len, just for the consumers, the average listener. And I went back to the merchandise tent yesterday afternoon, and the Peter Millar, which is a big, they've got so many vendors in there this year. It's really great, a lot of choices. Peter Millar, it was cleared out. All of the shelves were cleared out of shirts and everything. They still had a few left, but the shelves themselves were cleared out, and everything was picked over. You couldn't get different sizes of shirts, etc. So it was crazy. They got a disc jockey in there. They're playing disco music. I don't know about disco, but they got a big drum machine going with all the music that they're playing. So it's quite a dance party in there.
Well, I did my, I think I did all the shopping I'm going to do. We bought some gear wherever. We've been on the road a long time and had to get some gear, living in Florida, you don't get used to the chilly temperature. So we had to buy some clothes that kept us warm, but we were going to do some Christmas shopping in there. But I don't know. I'm a little leery about trying to work my way through that crowd again, because it was crowded, and that was I did my shopping the day before the matches began, so it was a little more calmer then.
I think I speak for all of our listeners when I say that we are glad that we have two intrepid reporters on the ground there covering these stories for us. That
there's no other radio there's no other radio station in town with this kind of coverage. We're all over it.
Well, Len, hey, we really appreciate you joining us this morning. It's been great chatting with you, and we'll be looking forward to it again soon, and enjoy the rest of the Ryder Cup.
Oh, it'll be fun. Thanks, guys.
See you later today, Lenny.
Len Zeme, the Dean of Chicago Golf Writers. You can find him at lenzemeongolf.com. He writes for the Daily Herald and many other publications. Does a great job. So it's great talking to Len. When we come back, Barry, I'm excited to do this. We're going to talk to a three-time Ryder Cup player for Team USA. Chip Beck will join us, and we'll do that next. This is The Scorecard, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine on 670 The Score. And we are back on The Scorecard, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine here on 670 The Score. Talking Ryder Cup, of course, Barry, and
who knew Steve Miller was from Milwaukee?
I had no idea. We've learned something new today, and we're about to learn a lot more as we head on out to the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Who better to talk Ryder Cup with than somebody who has played on three Ryder Cup teams for Team USA, 1989, 1991, 1993. We're delighted to be joined by Chip back here on the scorecard. Hey, Chip, good morning.
Good morning. It's a great, I think it's going to be great weather up here today, too.
For sure. Chip, awesome. Most people, there's a lot of people in Chicago who have no idea that a Ryder Cup hero, Chip Beck, lives in the Chicago area. And you've been lived here for, you lived in the Chicago area for a long time. Man, you had a great Ryder Cup record, 89. You have a record 6-2-1. That's your, including 3-0 in singles in the Ryder Cup. That is just awesome. People do not know that. And I'm telling them right now, your Ryder Cup hero lives in Chicago. It's awesome. So
Barry, you always do your homework.
Glad you're still here, man.
Great. Thank you so much. Chicago is a great city to live in, though, playing golf, because you could always get home on Sunday night. Where I grew up in North Carolina, it was an army town. I could never get home on Sunday night. So Chicago was really good to me. But I will tell you that the Ryder Cup was probably the highlight of my career. I loved it so much. I married a young Chicago girl, and she was she was socially very strong, and just she loved the Ryder Cup as well. And so we loved all the parties. And in my day, they appeased us by giving us $10,000 for clothing for the wives each year. So that made me a hero.
That's one way to get the guys to play. That's for sure.
Well, that was pretty nice back then.
Well, Chip, in 91, people might remember the Ryder Cup, the War by the Shore at Kiawah Island in South Carolina, the ocean course where Mickelson won the PGA earlier this year. You defeated that year's Masters champion Ian Woosnam 3-1 in your singles match, and that was a big point for them, for the U.S. to win that event and win the Ryder Cup back, 14.5 to 13.5 to reclaim the cup. That was huge. And then in England in 93 at the Belfry, you and John Cook, you guys were set out as the sacrificial lambs to go up against Nick Faldo and Colin Montgomery, and you wasted them, man. You beat them in best ball 2-up. That was huge.
Yeah, Tom Watson thought we couldn't play anymore. That was really amazing. I said, John, I said, you were the best. You were number one in the world 8 months ago, and now they're telling you you can't play. I said, this is crazy. I said, there's never been a team or a country that's been underestimated that didn't win the war. I said, they put the extra club in our bag. We're gonna birdie that first hole and never look back. John knocked that putt in on the first hole, and we never looked back. So that was a great experience, because they really thought we were just going to lose to them and move on, you know. But in 91, Ian Woosnam, if you remember, he drove it at Augusta. He drove it over the bunker at 18. First time in the history of the tournament somebody could drive it over the bunker. And so, like, when you saw Bryson DeChambeau hit it 417 yards, whatever, on the fifth hole, 600-yard hole, or just under 685 or something, he had a 72-yard wedge to the cup yesterday on the fifth hole. Yep. I mean, that's just insane, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, crazy. Crazy.
Go
ahead, Mike.
We are talking to Chip Beck here on the scorecard. And Chip, we all have a bit of Ryder Cup fever here, as we watched yesterday. And the biggest one-day lead in almost 50 years, the 6-2 lead. But, you know, we were talking last segment, unfortunately, you know, what happened at Medina 10 years ago or 9 years ago, whatever. So how does the U.S. guard against that? I mean, you've been in those rooms. You've played on these teams. What's going on with Team USA right now? What are they talking about?
Well, the great thing about the Team USA, they're all child prodigies. They're young kids. It's like the changing of the guard. Because I think in the past we had so many seasoned veterans that were – like playing in the off season, they were losing money coming to the Ryder Cup, you know. But these kids today, even though they make a tremendous amount of money, like we didn't make money, we played for the love of the game in my generation. I mean, I told people last night that in 1979, when I came out on tour, I made my first cut. I qualified for the first tournament in July at the Western Open. I finished 15th and made like $1,500. And I played pretty well from there out. and I failed keeping my card by $92, and I didn't make $7,000. That's 1979. Yeah. 5 years earlier, Miller had won seven tournaments and made $240,000. So we played for the love of the game, you know. But, you know, you look at a Jordan Spieth, he's made $50 million for the last probably 5 years. And so the money is a non-factor, really. But well, like when I played, it cost me $30,000 on the Monday before and the Monday after because I couldn't get there to compete to play in a pro-am or something, you know. But the great part about it is these kids are hungry and they're really gifted. I think all the rookies won every match yesterday. So I'm really happy that these young kids are coming out, keeping their confidence, because in our day, you know, we qualified for the tour, but we didn't have a chance to play. I mean, literally, I would get there. I went to Phoenix the first year. We had four courses, 150 guys for one spot at each course. You had to be a really good player to get that one spot. You're shooting, you know, a low 60. So it was a different ball game, but now they have a great, you know, Korn Ferry Tour where they can play for the year, hone their skills in. And so now you'll see like a Tony Finau, who 5 years ago had turned down a basketball and golf scholarship to Utah and some colleges. And 5 years later, he's one of the best players in the world. So that didn't really happen in my day so much. Mm-hmm. You know, if they didn't qualify for the tour, they were going to Asia to play. Right. And so Tony Finau could hone his skills in, play a few days, work his way through the mini tours, get to Canada, get to the Korn Ferry Tour, and now he's on tour. You know, I mean, it's really quite amazing. I'm not saying that's a great thing for a guy not to go to college, but I think it hurts somebody not to go to college. Where if you look at, like, you know, Seve Ballesteros and Bernhard Langer and these guys that had no college education. I mean, their education ended at like 11 years old. Yeah. I think that they might make a lot of money, but I think their lives are not as interesting. And probably, you know, it's like Larry Ellison said, he had all the benefits of poverty. That poverty drives you to be, you're always afraid of losing what, you know. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, it's a different ballgame, but I think it's, I'm glad to see that the tour's set up now where a guy can come out and really not lose his confidence. Now you start to see some really great players come through at a very young age. It's pretty exciting.
Chip, we just have about a minute left here, but what do you think? Can the U.S. hang on to this lead, and can they win the Ryder Cup?
I think it could be almost like the biggest massacre in U.S. history. I think these guys are that good. And what's really interesting, the European players are really flat, and I don't think the golf course fits them. You know, it's kind of like in France. We had all our long, wild hitters, and we needed the short, straight hitters. But they don't really have a lot of length. They've got John Rahm and, the Spanish Armada going out this morning again. That's their best team.
Right.
But they really
right.
haven't come together with a good team yet.
No, McIlroy I thought McIlroy and Lowry were going to do something, but they didn't. Well, listen, the biggest massacre in the Ryder Cup history, I'm down with that, Chip. I agree with you about all that. The Euros are flat. They don't fit the course. And you know what I say? Too bad. As Ozzie Guillen says after the White Sox games on the post game, so sorry. So sorry, not sorry. But we're not sorry to have had you. We're not sorry to have had you on the show, Chip. And we've got to go. We got only have 2 minutes. We got a short show this weekend. So, but thank you so much for being with us. It's such an honor to have you on, and it's so great to have a Ryder Cup hero living in the Chicago area still.
Barry, you are so nice, and the best to all that you're doing this year. I hope you have a great year. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chip.
Chip Beck, former four-time winner on the tour, Ryder Cup 1989, 91, 93. Great to talk to him. Great to talk Ryder Cup. And Barry, as we mentioned earlier in the show, this is our last show of the season. Lots of people and lots of organizations to thank about what we've done this year.
Right. Robert Marchione from the CDGA, Mike Gilligan, Casey Richards, and, of course, the Illinois PGA, very helpful getting our pros in here, Palmer Moody, Kevin Quinn. just terrific. We had a lot of great guests this year, all of our golf writer buddies. Man, we had some good guests. Mike Wan, the head of the USGA, and Bob Turner, interpreter for Hideki Matsuyama. I mean, we had some cool guests. So thank you, Mike, for everything. You did a great job this year. And we played golf together, which is the most important thing we did.
We will have to do that again soon, my friend. Enjoy the rest of the Ryder Cup this weekend, and we will be talking with you soon.
Thanks so much, Mike. Good luck to you.
Thank you. That's Barry Cronin. He is live up at Whistling Straits for the rest of the Ryder Cup. Mike Esposito back here in Chicago. Again, thanks to Chicago District Golfer Magazine and the CDGA for all their help this year. Thanks to Adam Studzinski, who produced us all year, for doing a wonderful job. Most of all, thanks to you all for listening each and every week here to The Scorecard. Coming up next, marathon coverage at 7, Chicago Marathon Show, early odds at 8, and then coming up on Inside the Clubhouse at 9, White Sox General Manager Rick Hahn. He'll join the guys at 10 o'clock. Stick around here, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.